Good morning from Yerushalayim. I'd like to mention that there are a few important yard sites this week in our lives, and I'd like to dedicate the shiur today in their memory. One of them is a very close friend that passed away at a young age. His name is Avraham Weisberg. The full name is Avraham Ephraim Yisrael Bereb Menachem Aaron, whose yard site is on the 15th of Cheshvan. The second one is a sister of Rav Rosenfeld, my wife's aunt, Ratz Yisora Bas Rabbi Yisrael Abba, whose yard site is on the 14th of Cheshvan. And then thirdly, the father of a close friend, Robert Weiss, his father, whose name is Avraham ben Aharon, whose yard site is also on the 14th of Cheshvan. The study of Torah should bring an Aliyas Neshama for them, together with all those that need Aliyas Neshama. We're up to Torah Reish Tes Zion, chapter 216. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Da, you should know, ki ha-philosophim koirim lahateva em kol choy, that the philosophers refer to nature as Mother Nature. That's the term that they use, the mother of all creation. We know that when Hashem first created the world, He created everything, and then He created man. He created Adam HaRishon, and then from Adam HaRishon, He created Chava. And she was called Chava because she is Eim Kol Choy. She is the mother of all creation. The philosophers, however, they refer to nature, which they use as a substitute for Hashem. They replace the concept of religion and Hashem and divinity with this term nature. And they refer to it as Mother Nature. Va'anachnu, however, we, al yedei tfiloseinu, through our prayers, Anu mevatlin hateva, we nullify and override nature. Ki hateva mechayev kach, because sometimes nature will dictate that things should be a certain way. Validei hatfila nishtane hateva, and through prayer we're able to change and override what would have been naturally. Meaning, for example, people will go to a doctor, a couple will go to a doctor or a team of doctors or a hospital, and they'll examine this couple and they'll say that it's physically impossible for you to be able to have children, to be able to bear children. And then we'll find that the woman will have a child. I know cases like this that occurred during my life. So here the doctors will say, I can show you x-rays, I can show you things where scientifically this is something that's just about impossible. And despite that, through prayer, people were all able to override what nature would seem to dictate. V'ze b'chinas chai birchois hatfilo chutz birkas haminim. Rabbeinu Zal says now, with this we could understand our most important prayer, our most basic prayer, is what we call the Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei means 18. It's 18 blessings which were established by the Anshei Knois Knesset HaGdola, the great, great assembly, 120 rabbis, who gave us the basis for our tefillah. And originally it was 17 blessings, and then they added an 18th one, and then subsequently, years later, when the Jews were experiencing tremendous trouble from philosophers and scientists who denied the existence of Hashem, the rabbis added a 19th blessing, which is the blessing V'lamalshinim al tehi sikva v'chol arisha k'rega toved, which is in middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. So now Rabbeinu Zal tells us, note, there's 18 blessings plus this 19th one, which is about the minim. It's called Birkas Haminim, the bracha where we pray for the downfall of these Apikursim, these philosophers and scientists who do not believe in Hashem, who deny and promote denial of the existence of Hashem, denial of religion. Shalidei chai birchon, through the 18 blessings. Again, even though there are technically 19, it has retained its title of 18 blessings. It's called the Shmoneh Esrei. And we know that the 18 are the original ones. Rabbeinu Zal says it's through these 18 blessings, which are called Chai, Mevatlin Hateva, we nullify the nature, which is also called Chai, Eim Kol Chai, Mother Nature, the mother of all living. Umachnien umevatlin haminim, and we bring about the downfall of the deniers of Hashem, the atheists and the heretics. So again, the Jewish people through our tefillah, when we pray in general, but especially when we pray the Shmon Esrei with Kavona, one of the things that it accomplishes is that it weakens the power, the powers and the belief in Mother Nature, and it elevates the Hashgacha Prati. It strengthens Hashem's hands-on policy in overseeing everything that relates to the Jewish people especially and to the entire world. Any questions? We continue. Torah Resh Yud Zayin, chapter 217. Rabbi Nizal quotes a pasuk in Malachi, in the prophet Malachi, where the prophet says to the Jewish people, Zichru Toiras Moshe, remember the Torah of which was given to you by Moshe Rabbeinu. And he wants us to know, to be mindful of the Torah which we received from Moshe Rabbeinu and to fulfill its commandments. But he uses the term Zichru, remember. Rabbi Nizal says that these three words, if you look at the first letters, they make up the word Tammuz without the Vav. Rosh Tevois, Tammuz, Choser Vav. The first three letters make up the word Tammuz, which is the name of one of the Jewish months, but it's missing the Vav. Usually Tammuz is written Tav Mem Vav Zayin. Ki Oz B'Tammuz Tzrichin Lahamshich Hazikoroin L'Sakein Hashikcha. Because it's specifically during this month of Tammuz when a Jew has to strive to strengthen the powers of memory, remembering Hashem, remembering the Torah, and to correct the forces of forgetfulness. Ki oz nishave hashikcha, because it's during the month of Tammuz that forgetting came into existence. Ki al yidei haluchos shenishtabru b'chodesh Tammuz nishave hashikcha. Because it's as a result of the tablets which Moshe Rabbeinu broke on the 17th of Tammuz when he came back down to earth from his visit in heaven for 40 days and he observed that the Jewish people were involved in worshipping the golden calf. At that point, he broke the luchos, and it was then that nishave hashikcha, that forgetting, came into existence. K'moshom Rabbi Yosei Nizal, as the Gemara says in Eruvin, page 54, Il mole lo nishtabru haluchos harishonos, were it not for the first set of tablets being broken, lo nishtakcha Torah miYisrael, the Torah would not have been forgotten by the Jewish people. V'al kein choser vov mitamuz, and this is why, in the presentation that we made above, Zichru Toras Moshe, the vov is lacking. Because since the tablets were broken, the Vav left. Because the tablets are known by the letter Vav. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Haluchos Orkon Vav Verochbon Vav, that the tablets which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from heaven, those original tablets of stone, were 6 by 6, 6 handbreadths by 6 handbreadths, 6 tfachim by 6 tfachim. So the Vav is missing to imply that it's during this time, the month of Tammuz, that the tablets went away, they were broken. Now Rabbi Nizal adds another point, that we know the holiday of Shavuos, which was when Hashem originally gave the Torah on Mount Sinai, is known as Zman Matan Torosenu, the time when the Torah was given to us. So Rabbi Nizal says, Gam Zman Matan Torosenu Rosh Tevois Tammuz. Those three words, Zman Matan Torosenu, also the first letters of those three words make up the word Tammuz without the Vav. Ki b'Tammuz nitnu haluchos. Because during the month of Tammuz is when the luchos were given, K'moshom Rabbi Yosei Zichrono Livracha, as our rabbis tell us, V'gam kan choser vav, and here also the vav is missing, machmas she'oz nishtabru haluchos. Because shortly after Moshe Rabbeinu received the Luchos, they were broken, Shehem Bechinas Vav, and they are represented by the letter Vav. It's interesting to note that in the Tikkuni Zohar, in the Nezohar HaKodesh, one of the ways that we look at the name of Hashem, the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, is that the Yud and He represent Ahava and Yira, love and fear, or love and respect. The Vav represents Torah, and the He represents Mitzvah. This is one of the formats of how the Zohar HaKodesh analyzes what Hashem's name represents and what each letter of Hashem's name brings us. So again, it's the letter Vav that's associated with Torah. The Vav is associated with Tiferes, the sphere of Tiferes. And the word Tiferes is abbreviated. It starts with a Tav and ends with a Tav. So it's often abbreviated as Tav Tav with quotation marks on top. Tav Tav also stands for Talmud Torah, that the Torah is represented by that letter Vav. And we know that there's a pasuk that says, Kosvam al luach libecha, study the Torah and inscribe its words on the tablets of your heart. So when we talk about a person studying Torah and retaining it, remembering it, it's referred to as being inscribed on the tablets of our heart. We're told that when Moshe Rabbeinu observed the Jews worshipping the golden calf, the letters on the stones flew up. They left the stone and they flew up to heaven. So now the stone was left without the letters, without the holiness. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu could no longer hold it. How could Moshe Rabbeinu hold these gigantic stones made of snapirio and a very, very precious type of stone that from heaven? The answer is, as long as the letters were there, it had a holiness. It had the divine spirit of Hashem in it, which carried it. As soon as the letters left, the stone became stone, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hold it anymore. So too by us, when we study Torah, the letters are inscribed on the tablets of our heart. When we forget, those letters leave. Interesting to note, while we're on the topic of the month of Tammuz, most people think that the most difficult month of the year for the Jewish people is the month of Av, or Menachem Av, as it's called. That's the month that has Tisha B'Av in it. It has the 9 days, which begin from Rosh Chodesh through Tisha B'Av, Shavua Shechal Bo for the Sfarim, the week of Tisha B'Av. However, the Zohar HaKadosh points out that the month of Av is only 50% at most negative. From the 50% point, Tu B'Av, the 15th, is a holiday. The Gemara says it's one of the great celebrations. The Gemara says there was never celebrations for the Jewish people like Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that the month of Av is partially negative, whereas the month of Tammuz, the entire month, represents a time of judgment, harshness. We know that the spies who were sent to check out the land of Eretz Yisrael and brought back a terrible report, their trip lasted 40 days, of which 30 of those days were the month of Tammuz. And that's why that month has a severe negative connotation for us. And here Rabbeinu Zal tells us this is a month when a person has to work extra hard to remember, to be zeichet to zikorin d'kedusha, to be able to remember the things that we want to remember and to be able to forget the things that we need to forget. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
If we have this concept that everything that Hashem does for us is good, how can we perceive any one month as negative?
We know that while we're living in this world, the Torah tells us that when something bad happens, it uses the word ra. We make a certain blessing, Baruch Dayan Ho'emes. And when something exceptionally good happens, we make a bracha hatoiv ha-meitiv. We believe, we're taught to believe, that even though, while we're living in this world, we perceive certain things as bad, as negative, we believe that it's really good. But we know that to really understand that fully, and to be able to see that, will be in the future when Mashiach comes. It says, Bayom Hahu, on that day, Yihyeh Hashem Echod Ushmo Echod. Then Hashem will be one. Whereas now, in this world, Hashem is perceived as a right and a left, kindness and harshness. So it's a matter of how you're looking at it. And, you know, there are certain rabbis, when they speak in Shiurim, everything is good. Everything Hashem does is good. There's only good. There is no bad. The Torah uses the term ra. The Mishnah, the Halacha, uses the term ra hundreds of times. So it needs to be clarified. We need to understand what's going on. We believe, the Torah teaches us to believe that everything Hashem does is for the good. And yet, when we go to a funeral, we do not make the bracha tov ha-metiv. If a person says that, he's violating, he's disgracing, dishonoring the name of Hashem. It's only in the future that we're going to be allowed to do that. We make the bracha dayin ho-emes, but we say it, we recite it with faith. We believe that it's really good and that there'll come a time when we'll be able to understand how it was good. You follow? Sure. So that here again, the halacha tells us that mishenichnas of mematin besimcha, that even though normally it's a mitzvah for a Jew to listen to music, to dance, to be happy during the month of Av, we don't do that. There are certain things we don't do in order to show that we recognize that for us in this world right now, this month, you know, it represents a certain degree of sadness, and we remember terrible things that happened during this period of time, and therefore we act a certain way. Torah Resh Yudches, chapter 218. Rabbi Nazal says, Da you should know, Shelefomim, Kishenigzar al Hodom Chas v'Sholem Ezek Zera, at times when a heavenly decree is issued against a person, a negative decree, the afal gaf de iu loy chazi, even though the person doesn't actually see it, we don't see what's going on in heaven, mazle chazi, the person's guardian angel does see it, and the person's soul feels it. Umachmazeh roitze lahastir es atzmoi, and it's for this reason that the person feels an urge to go and hide. And this is the reason why sometimes a person will suddenly pick themselves up and travel to a distant place. The person is trying to hide. Even though the person in an open manner doesn't know what is he hiding from, why is he hiding? Im kol zeh hanefesh yodas mizeh. The person's soul senses that the person must hide, that there's something danger, there's a danger, and the person has to run away from it. Al kein bo loy rotzoin linsoy lishom. This is why the person feels an urge, a desire to travel to go away from their place. Vilifomim, however, sometimes, kishabolishom, when the person arrives at that new location where they were hoping to hide, where nobody knows them, and they're hoping to keep the lowest profile possible, hunisparsem shom beyoser. Suddenly, the person's presence becomes known and acknowledged and publicized. The person suddenly gets more publicity than they would get in their own hometown. Va'oz yucha lahazik loy moed chasveshom. And that publicity, that recognition, can cause tremendous harm to the person. This is actually what caused the passing away of a great tzaddik. Shepitom rotzel in soil Eretz Yisrael, whereby he suddenly got a very strong urge to travel to Eretz Yisrael. From where he lived in the city of Posen. This is referring to the great tzaddik Reb Naftali Katz, who was the author of the Smichas Chachomim. V'hu hoye ba'atzmoy yodea mizeh. This tzaddik was on a high enough level that he knew that there was some type of a gzera, a decree, and he knew that he had to change his location. He had to leave, run away. That he had to hide himself. He had to go to a place where nobody would know him. Venosa al Hamedina, and therefore he traveled cross country. V'hoyo pirsum gadol, and unfortunately it became known who he was, that he was a great person. There was a great deal of publicity. V'nestalek ba'oisoy haderech. And he ended up passing away in the city of Istanbul and being buried there. V'chein eira bizmanenu besamuch. And Rabbeinu Zal says there was another occurrence of this during our time recently. Hashem yatzilenu, may Hashem save us from this. This is referring to one of the great tzaddikim, a student of the Baal Shem Tov. His name was Reb Leib Mistretenitz. He was a tremendous tzaddik, and his son-in-law was Reb Yudel Zal, who later became a student of Rabbi Nachman, one of the close students of Rabbi Nachman. He was a mekubal, this Reb Yudel. Rabbeinu Zal held him in very high regard. His father-in-law, Reb Leib Mistretenitz, was a great tzaddik. And again, he once felt that he had to leave, and he got on a boat, and he was traveling, and he suddenly became very sick on the boat, and he realized that he was going to pass away, and he gave instructions to the people on the boat that when he dies, they should take his body and put it on a plank and put it into the sea. And it'll know where to go. It'll know exactly where to go and where to be buried. And this was an extraordinary, unusual thing. What about a Jewish burial? Nothing. These were the instructions. Sure enough, shortly afterwards, he passed away. They followed his instructions. This board floated, went straight as if it was being guided towards a certain direction. And then it ended up coming up on shore in a location where several years before that, a great tzaddik in a certain community had passed away. And before he passed away, he left instructions that he doesn't want anyone in the city to be buried next to him. Only when someone will arrive with an amuda denura, with a pillar of fire, when they'll see a pillar of fire accompanying a tzaddik, they'll know that that tzaddik is to be buried next to him. Sure enough, when this plank of wood carrying the body of Reb Leib Mistretenitz came up on shore, the people there saw the body, and they saw this amuda denura, a pillar of fire. And they understood that this is the tzaddik who their rabbi had said he should be buried next to him, and this is what they did. Rabbeinu Zal says, Hashem yatzilenu, may Hashem save us from these decrees. We should be zeuche to be in Hashem's good graces, and that tzaddikim should succeed in sweetening and eliminating all harsh decrees from all of Am Yisrael. Any questions? Torah Resh Yud Tes, chapter 219. Rabbeinu Zal here quotes a pasuk in the Eicha, Lamentations, where the pasuk says, Bitsa imrosoi, Hashem executed his words. In other words, he fulfilled what he said he would do. That if the Jews, Rachmona Litzlan, would act in a terrible way, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, Yerushalayim would be destroyed, etc. The Medrash says on that pasuk, the word emrosoi means his words, and the word emrosoi also refers to the hem on a garment. So the Medrash says, Biza purpiro delay, Hashem tore his royal robes. And now Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki bevadai ein habeis hamikdosh yochol lizboil kevoidoi vegavoso yisborach. Because we must definitely understand that the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, cannot contain Hashem's glory, Hashem's greatness. K'may shekosev, as it says clearly, when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdosh, Hinei hashomayim ushmei hashomayim lo yechal kelucha. The heavens and the upper heavens cannot contain you. Afki habayis hazeh, certainly this house cannot contain the light and greatness of Hashem. Rak machmas ahavas Yisroel, however, it's only out of Hashem's deep love for the Jewish people, tzimtzem, Hashem constricted himself. Kavyoch Hashem shrinks himself, vehilbish es gavosoi, and Hashem covers up his greatness, kedei lahashrois shchinosoi beveis hamikdosh, in order to cause his divine presence to dwell inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Holy Temple, Kedei legalois malchusoi, in order to reveal Hashem's kingship. The miracles that the Jews saw at all times taking place in the Beis Hamikdash was a revelation of the presence of Hashem, the divine presence of Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what's meant by the pasuk in Tehillim chapter 93, where the pasuk says, Hashem moloch geus lovesh. Hashem is king, and he cloaks himself in majesty, in greatness. Shekaviyochol b'shvil egalois malchusoi, what this pasuk is teaching us is that in order for Hashem to reveal his kingdom, hilbish v'tzimtzem es geus sheloi, Hashem covered and constricted his greatness, kaviyochol, he shrank it, in order that we should be able to handle accepting upon ourselves Hashem's kingdom, the yoke of Hashem's kingdom, Hashem's authority. However, when the Jews unfortunately sinned, then Hashem took off the kid gloves. He took off the cover. He opened the curtain completely. Hashem wasn't willing to cover up and constrict his greatness anymore. And therefore, automatically, it burst. The Beis Hamikdash burst. It was destroyed. Because it could not withstand the great light, the greatness of Hashem in its full revelation. This is what's meant by the pasuk Bitza Emrosoi, and the Medrash says Biza Purpira Dilei. Hashem tore his garment, his cover. Shekora es halavush sheloi. Kaviyoch Hashem tore the cover. Hainu shekora es halavush vatzimtzum anal. The cover, the constriction between as geus lovesh anal. Umemela nechrav habeis hamikdash. And then automatically the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Kimeachar shekora ubitel es hatzimtzum valavush, because once Hashem tore the cover, he removed the cover that was blocking the light from being revealed in its full sense. Shuv eina Beis Hamikdash yochel lizbal gavosu goinoi. The Beis Hamikdash could no longer withstand and contain Hashem's greatness and glory. As the pasuk says, neither the heavens or the highest of heavens can contain Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Oid shamati bishmoi le'inyan hanal, I heard another Dvar Torah said over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal regarding this topic, shehilbish v'tzimtzem es ga'avosoi kedei legalois malchusoi, regarding this concept of Hashem covering and constricting his glory, his honor, his majesty, in order to allow for the revelation of his kingdom, of his authority. Shehizgiroz mashomar bayoim shelafonov. Rabbeinu Zal mentioned something that he had mentioned the previous day, v'ho'inyan, which is as follows. Sheyiro bechinas malchus. Yiro, which means fear or respect, is associated with the sphere of Malchus. We've mentioned many times the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Il mole moiro'o shel Malchus, ish es reyeu chayim bloy. Were it not for fear of government, people would swallow each other alive. There'd be total anarchy. So Yira is associated with Malchus. Hu bechinas hachno. And it's also associated with humility. This is why we find in one pasuk, we find these two things broadcasted in a big way. The pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoel Meimoch. What is Hashem asking of you? Kiim Leira. The all Hashem is asking of you is to fear him, to respect him. Shashem Yisborach Maktin Esatzmoy. When somebody says, all your parents want is for you to behave yourself, that's a form of submission, like that the parents are humbling themselves to say, We want you to do something for us. We need you to do something for us. Rabbi Mizal says, Shashem Yisborach Maktin Esatzmoy Kaviyochel. In this sentence in the Torah, Kaviyochel, it's as if Hashem is lowering himself, V'shoyel Mehem Yira, and he's pleading with the Jewish people. He's saying, please, I want you to respect. All I ask of you is to respect me. Ki Shoyel Me'imach, because asking of you, Hu Bechinas Hachno V'shiflus, that's a display of humility, humbleness. K'moy Hashoyel U'mevakesh Mechaveroi, like any person who asks or requests something from another individual. By the way, we know that there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about this pasuk, and one of the explanations regarding this pasuk is that the word ma itself means humility. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to express the fact that we're nothing to say about himself and his brother Aaron HaKohen, why are you bringing all your complaints to us? We're nothing. We're nobody. He said, "Venachnu ma ki salinu aleinu." We are nothing. So the pasuk here says, "Mo Hashem shoyel me'imoch." Hashem asks of you humility, kiim liyira. And once a person has humility, fear and respect are automatic. Because there's a pasuk that says, "Ekev anovo yiras Hashem," that fear of Hashem is like the heel of the foot of humility. Now, as if we look at humility as being a person, fear of Hashem is like the heel of the foot. It's like the bottom of the bottom compared to the attribute of humility. But here, Rabbi Nizal is telling us here, ki yira hu b'chinas malchus. Yira, as we said before, is associated with malchus. Kama shekosov il mole moiro'o shel malchus. Umalchus hu bechinas oini v'hachno. And kingdom is something that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us represents something that's poor and humble. Why? Ki ein melech b'loyam. Because kingdom, government, is dependent on the people. It's whether the people are going to vote him in or vote him out, that kind of thing. So kingdom is not something that a person possesses himself. It's an authority that has to be given to a person by others. Shezel bechinas anius. This is the concept of poverty. Deleslo migarmo klum. It has nothing of its own. This attribute of malchus, kingdom, yira. Haynu shemidas hamalchus ein lo mitzad atzmo klum. It has nothing whatsoever of its own. Kim al yidei ha'olam nizga lemidas hamalchus. It's only by means of the people or the world they broadcast, they display the kingdom of Hashem. Ki ein melech b'loyam. Because we have a rule, you can't have a king without a nation. It's the nation that makes the people. It's the nation that puts the government into position when things are normal, obviously. Nimtza, shemidas hamalchus, shi bechinas yira, hi bechinas oini v'achno. So therefore, this shows us that the attribute of malchus, which is associated with yira, is also an aspect of poverty, submissiveness. V'alkein, and therefore, b'shas matan Torah, when Hashem was giving the Torah to the Jewish people on Har Sinai, Sherotzo Hashem Yisborach legalois malchus av yirosoi, which is a time when Hashem wanted to reveal his kingdom and respect for Hashem, hichnia es atzmai Hashem Yisborach liYisrael kaviyochel. Hashem submitted himself and humbled himself before the Jewish people, ubikesh mehem sheyikaplu malchusoi. And Hashem requested of us, Hashem asked us to accept his authority. Ve'hiftiach lahem kama avtochos. And Hashem made many promises. K'may shekosev, as it says, va'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. If you will accept my authority, you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and I'll bless you. Shekol eilu haftochos hin b'chinas hachno. All of these promises are like a form of submissiveness. When someone needs something from somebody else, kaviyochel. V'chol zeh hoye b'shvil legalois malchusoi v'yerosoi. And the entire display of what took place on Har Sinai was all about revealing Hashem's kingdom and respect for Hashem. Kamesha Kosov, as it says right after Matan Torah, that Hashem says, why did I do all of this? Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, why did Hashem make this fireworks and the show? Uba'avur tihiyeh yir'osoy al paneichem, so that all of you will have fear of Hashem upon your faces. Ki kol ze hoye b'shvil hayira. All of this was for the sake of Yira, shibchinas malchus, ki Hashem yisporach makdin es atzmoy b'shvil legalo yis malchusoy kanal. Because kaviyochel Hashem shrinks himself in order to reveal his malchus. Just like when we've spoken in the past about the fact that at the time of creation, Hashem had to constrict the light. He had to remove the light, vacate the light from a certain area, the cholol haponui, in order to allow for creation, in order for Hashem's malchus to be able to be established, in order for the worlds to be created. Vezehu, and this is also how we could understand the pasuk, Hashem moloch geus lovesh. Hashem moloch, haynu kisherotz Hashem yisporach legalo yismalchusoy. When Hashem wanted to reveal and broadcast his kingdom, azai geus lovesh. Then his majesty, his glory, he covered up, he shrank it. Shehilbish v'tzimtzeim es ga'avosoy. V'hikten es tatzma kaviyochol. Kaviyochol Hashem had to shrink himself in order for us to be able to connect with him, in order for his kingdom to be able to be accepted by us. Rav Nosson Zalayetz, Gam Shomati, I heard another interpretation of this sentence, this Bitza Emrosoi, She'omar Oz Divrei Tzachus Ledarshan, that Rabbeinu Zal made a certain sarcastic remark like, to a preacher that had come to see him. These were people who would travel around preaching, giving sermons, in order to get paid, in order to get money for their sermons. Sheyoshav al Shulchanai, who was sitting at Rabbeinu Zal's table, Oz at that time, and Rabbeinu Zal said, he quoted this pasuk, Bitza Imrosoi. The word Imrosoi means his words. His speech is Bitza, for Betza, for profit. It's speech for profit. She'oimer Torah b'shvil betza u'mamoim. This person is saying Torah for money. Oid mi'in in hanal shamati b'shmoy. Rav Nosson says another thing that I heard from Rabbeinu Zal regarding related to this. She'omar al ha'posuk. Rabbeinu Zal quoted the pasuk in Yirmiyah chapter 23, where the pasuk says, Hashem says, im yisoser ish b'mistorim va'ani lo arenu. Can a person try to hide themselves in a hiding place and I won't see them? Rabbeinu Zal said on this pasuk, ki kishe'odom maktin es atzmoi, when a person chooses to maintain a low profile, to act with humility, azai Hashem yisporach gam maktin es atzmoi, then Hashem also humbles himself. Hashem also shrinks himself in order for the person to be able to connect to Hashem. Avol kishe'odom mizgoy o mizgadel, whereas when a person starts acting arrogant, he wants to stand up tall and proud and arrogant, azaya shemispora gamkein mare ga'avosei v'godloi, then Hashem takes off, removes the cover, and Hashem shows his greatness and glory, and the person is blown away. V'zehu, this is another interpretation of this pasuk, im yisoser ish b'mistorim, if a person hides himself in a hiding place, if a person maintains a low profile, shekishodom maktinu mastir esatzmei b'mistorim, when a person lowers themselves and hides themselves, haynu shem mastir umalim umaktin esatzmei banov v'shiflus, the person hides themselves and shrinks themselves with humility, azai va'ani loy arenu, then I show that person my loy, my not, my non-existence, my smallness, kaviyochel. Shehu bechinas ayin ve'efes. The term loy means nothing. In other words, Hashem says, I show that person my aspect of nothing. Bechinas anova v'shiflus, meaning my humility. But if the person wants to act arrogant, he wants to be big, Hashem says, then I'll show him my bigness and he'll get the message. Any questions? We continue. Chapter 220, Torah Reish Chof. Rabbein Azal says, Da, you should know, ki yesh kama dvorim yekorim boilam, that there are several precious things in the world, things that are very precious, very important. Hechacham hu yokor ma'oid, a person who is wise, who is really wise, is someone that's very valuable. V'chein gibor, and so too a person who is powerful, person who has power. V'chein oshir u'moshel, and so too a person who is wealthy, or a person who is a ruler, a person who has authority. Dehainu mi sheyesh loy eze hisnasus, referring to people who have authority. Now we know the Gemara says that the divine presence of Hashem only rests on Chacham, Gibor, Oshir, that a person must have one or all of these attributes in order to be able to attract the divine presence of Hashem. Rabbein Azal says now, Veda, you should know, She'etzel kol echot mehem yecholin lifoil ulehivosha metzaroi. If a person is in pain, a person is suffering, they're going through some type of a crisis, a problem, their problem can be helped by any one of these three. Shem yesh lo yezet sar chas v'shon, v'yelech etzel echot mehem, v'yesapri lefonov, whereby if the person is suffering and they will go to one of these three types of people and tell the person what they're going through, to the point where they'll be able to get through to that person's heart and arouse that person's sympathy, that the person should feel sympathetic to the one who's telling about his pain and his suffering, this can bring about the salvation for the person. In other words, the fact that Hashem has chosen these people in certain cases to bless them with wealth or authority or strength, that could be a blessing from Hashem. And that could enable that person to do certain things that an ordinary person can't. When a person is suffering from a major problem and they don't know how to get it resolved, I don't know what to do, and they go to a person who has one of these three attributes and he says, no problem, I'll handle it. And he's able, because of his chochma or his gevura or his authority, his malchus, his ashirus, they have connections, they have contacts, they have ways of being able to make things happen that an ordinary person can't. We know that this isn't necessarily a replacement for Hashem, a substitute for Hashem, or going to a tzaddik. We know that there's a pasuk that says, tzaddik moishel beyira selikim, that a tzaddik, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, page 16, that a tzaddik rules over Hashem. Hashem issues a decree, and Hashem empowers the tzaddik to override Hashem's decree. But here again, there are certain cases where a person has what they call in Israel, capital P, protectia, where a person has a connection, a contact with a person who has one of these three qualities, or all three of them, and then that person is in a position to help them also to be a shliach. Any questions?
Matthew Zeidlin, Muncie, New York. Just wondering, when the Rebbe refers here to Chacham, is he referring to the Tzaddik, or is this a different category of Chacham?
Very often, Rabbein Azal uses those two terms interchangeably, often. But the term Chacham here can also refer to a person who is very smart, very intelligent, and therefore has the ability to solve certain problems more easily than a person who doesn't have that same level of Chachma, of intelligence. But usually when Rabbein Azal uses the term Chacham, he's referring to a Chacham Digdusha, obviously, a person who believes in Hashem and a person who respects Hashem, and again, that person is blessed with a high level of intelligence. We know Rabbein Azal tells us in a different place that rabbis whose authority is respected by a large group of people, they have the power to effect miracles. Rabbein Azal quotes the pasuk, Moifsov u'mishpetei fihu, that those people who are authorities in halacha, where that person's authority is respected by thousands of people, mishpatei fiyu, mishpat means authority in halacha, they can affect moifsim, they can affect miracles. Okay, chapter Reish Chaf Aleph, Torah 221. Rabbeinu Zalhiyah speaks about the mitzvah of meiser, a person giving charity, and especially one aspect of charity, which is 10% of a person's earnings or profit, any type of profit that a person acquires, to designate and give away 10% of that for charity. Just before we begin, one of the last Dvar Torahs that I was privileged to hear from my Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, before he passed away, he was very sick at the time, and he had left the United States to spend his remaining days in Eretz Yisrael, and we would communicate a little bit by phone when he had the energy to do it, and was coming close to Rosh Hashanah, and he mentioned to me at the time that he wanted me to speak on Rosh Hashanah, to give the shiur that he usually gave on Rosh Hashanah. And he said, I want to share something very important with you, because one of the most important things in his life was the fact that he was privileged to support the Breslov Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael at that time. He lived in America, and he himself lived in poverty. He raised four children in a one-bedroom apartment, and he lived very, very meagerly, very, very small. And yet he raised thousands of dollars, which at that time, in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, which he would send to Eretz Yisrael to support the Breslov Talmidei Chachamim and institutions in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the ways that he was able to accomplish this was he taught his students the importance of meiser, how critical it is that a person who earns money to set aside 10% of that for charity. And he would say that one of the highest forms of charity is supporting true Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. So this is called meiser. And he wanted this to continue, obviously, even after he was ill and even after he would pass away. So he said to me that we know that Yaakov Avinu, the third forefather of the Jews, he's called Bechir Shebaavos, the choicest one of all three, in certain respects, the greatest one of all three. And at one point, the Torah tells us, he battled with an angel, and he defeated the angel. And at that point, his name was changed from Yaakov to Yisroel. The word Yaakov has the word Ekev in it, which means the heel of the foot, which is a very low place, the bottom. The word Yisroel has the word Roish in it, which means the head, the top. Yaakov Avinu went from the bottom to the top. That's this title Yisroel. So Rav Rosenfels mentioned that the Meforshim and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us which mitzvah is it specifically, that if a Jew observes this mitzvah correctly, he acquires this holy title Yisroel. It's the mitzvah of Meiser. Because we find that in the Chumash, in the Torah, in Chumash Dvarim, where Hashem instructs the Jewish people regarding this mitzvah, it says, Aser ta Aser. Aser tithe, tithe, as tvu aserecha, the produce of your fields. And there's a lot written in the Gemara about why it says it twice, Aser ta Aser. But these two words, Aser ta Aser, if you take the numerical value, it adds up to 1,540. The word Yisroel adds up to 541. We know that there's a pasuk, Echo Yirdoif Echod Elef. How can one chase 1,000? And we're told that in the Hebrew language, one, Aleph is one, and Elef is 1,000. The same word, Aleph Lamed Pei is one, and Aleph Lamed Pei is 1,000. So that 1,540 is the same, in a sense, as 541. So it's this mitzvah of Aser ta Aser by which a person acquires this crown, this honorable title, Yisroel. Now we begin. Rabbeinu Zal says, Al yidei shenois nin meiser, by a Jew giving this meiser, this 10% to charity, nitzoilin misoinim, the person is saved from enemies. This could be physical enemies, and it could be spiritual enemies, spiritual obstacles. Because kaviyochol, Hashem covers and shelters the person with his hand, with Hashem's hand, and protects the person and saves them from any type of opposition. There's a pasuk in Koheles where it says that Hashem always sides with the one who is being oppressed, the one who's being attacked, the underling. Vafilu tzadik roideh v'sarosha. The Medrash says, even if it's a righteous person that's attacking an evil person, Hashem always sides with the one who's under attack. V'zeh b'chinas uvetzel yodi kisisicha. This is what's meant by the pasuk in Yeshaya, where Hashem says, in the shadow of my hand, I shelter you. Shashim Yisborach mechasa olav betzel yodo yumatziloi. Hashem covers the person with the shade, the shadow of the hand, and saves him. Ukishanirdof tzadik. Now, when the person who's being chased, when the person who's under attack is a tzadik, shehu samuch Hashem Yisborach, which means he is close to Hashem, he's in Hashem's good graces, azai hu Yisborach matziloi biyodoi. Then Hashem saves that person with his hand. Ki hu samuch Hashem Yisborach, because kaviyo, that person is close to Hashem. Avol kishanirdof rosho, whereas when the person who's being attacked is a rosho, nimtza shehu rochok mehashem Yisborach, we usually perceive a rosho as being distant from Hashem. V'afal pikein Hashem Yisborach matziloi. And despite that, the Medrash tells us that Hashem saves him, he protects him. Ki olikim yevakei shesani, Hashem sides with the one who's under attack. Azai kaviyochel Hashem Yisborach magdil yodoi. In that case, Hashem has to stretch his hand. Hashem has to extend his hand. U'moishito u'mechape olav. And extends it and covers over the Rosha, af shehu rochok mehashem Yisborach, even though he's distant from Hashem. Val yedei maiser nase bechinas yad hagdoila. And it's through this mitzvah of maiser, this generates this long hand of Hashem. Ki yad hagdoila hu bechinas histapkus. Because the term yad hagdoila represents a concept of a person who's content, who's satisfied, who has everything he needs. Komei Shekosuv, as it says in the Chumash, when the Jews were complaining, when they were in the desert, we don't have enough, we need more food, we need this. And Hashem said, okay, they want meat? I'll give them meat. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you're going to give them meat? We're talking about millions of people here. Hatzoin uvochor yishochet lohem umotza lohem? Are we going to slaughter sheep and cattle for them and there'll be enough for them? It's called Gayom, we'll catch all the fish in the whole sea. Is that going to be enough for them? Now, in the words Umotzolahem, the Tirgem Unkelus interprets it, Hayispak Lahoin. Will it be enough for them? Will it suffice for them? Veheshivo Hashem Yisborach, what was Hashem's response? Hayad Hashem Tiktzor? Is the hand of Hashem short? Nimtza. Shebechinas yad hagedoyla, so we see this term of the long hand, the large hand, he yecholo lahaspikom. That represents Hashem's ability to give enough, to give sufficient for no matter how many people are on, no matter how big the need is. Nimtza shebechinas histapkus hu bebechinas yad hagedoyla. So this concept of being content, being fully satisfied, having everything one needs, is referred to by this concept of the Yad Hagdoila of Hashem. Vayidei Maiser hu bebechinas histapkus. And it's through this mitzvah of Maiser that a person achieves this level of contentment. Because there's a pasuk in Koheles which says, Ki einot ameis v'chatzi tavosei biyodoi. No person leaves this world having even satisfied half of his desires. Ki yesh loy mono, mevakesh mosayim. A person has 100, he wants 200. He's never satisfied. V'chol ma sheyesh loy, ein maspik loy. No matter how much a person has, it's not enough. Avol b'maiser ksiv, whereas when it comes to the mitzvah of maiser, the pasuk says in Malachi, haviu es kol ha-maiser el beis ha-oitzer, bring all of your tithes to Hashem's treasury, u'bichanunina bazois, and Hashem says, test me with this mitzvah. Test me. If I won't give you so much, I'll give you so much bounty, so much abundance, ad beli dai, until it'll be more than enough. And the Gemara says on those words, ad beli dai, ad sheyivlu sifsoisechem miloy mardai, to the point where your lips will become worn out from saying, enough, enough, stop, we have enough. Nimtza, shayidei meiser, nase b'chinas istapkus. So we see that meiser generates this feeling of it's enough, complete contentment. Shehu b'chinas yad ha-gedoyla, which is the large hand of Hashem, the long hand of Hashem. If we generate this long hand of Hashem, then even if we're not tzaddikim, we said that tzaddik is close to Hashem. When Hashem wants to protect them, even a short hand will do it. But even if we're not tzaddikim, even if we need Hashem to show the long hand, the mitzvah of Maaser specifically is what generates that long hand. Now, interestingly, there's one line that's added to this Torah, which we don't see at first glance what the connection is. I hope in the next shiur we'll explain it. Rabbeinu Zal here adds the pasuk, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. I place Hashem, I picture Hashem opposite me at all times. And Rabbeinu Zal said, Bechinas misnaged. The word lenegdi means opposite, and it also means opposition, opponent, an opponent. And Mitz Hashem will take this up next week in Mitz Hashem. Any questions?
Thank you so much. Have sure. A good week.
Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We should be zecher to Yeshuas and Simchas. This past Shabbos, yesterday, was the yahrzeit of Rachel Imenu. Tens of thousands of Jews visited her kever from Thursday through today. And some are even going to go, I hope to go tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. Hashem should help that all the tefillos should be niskabel, and Rachel Imenu, together with all the tzaddikim and tzidkonios, should succeed in sweetening all the judgments and bringing about the gula shleima b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen v'yamein.
Amen.
Amen.